And we're back for episode two of the PTI. This is your host, Tim. I'm here with Nidler, Pat, and I Rockefeller. They'll be the ones that I'll be shooting these questions at, and they'll be answering them. Like, you guys got anything to say before I start running these questions out?
Yeah. Have you ever seen that movie, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Tim?
I have.
I just put on a clinic on how to lose your team in 3 days in the NDL. It was running good, and then, oof.
Man, you were, like, riding a high, too, and the best part is you were telling everyone the whole time you were doing the whole, like, shell thing where I'm not very good, and then, but you weren't lying.
Yeah, exactly, but I'm actually not very good.
you weren't trying to trick anyone. You were trying to tell people to quit voting you so high.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like, no, stop it, please.
Yeah, Pat's just out here handing out free points for people that beat him because he's ranked. I'll jump right into it, actually. What's everyone's? We'll start with Nidler first because he's up on my list first. What is your first college football playoff reaction?
I guess to be brutally honest, I was a little surprised. I get that it's their first time doing it. I get that. You know, the process will, I guess, straighten out as they get through and learn what to look at. But I feel like there was, I don't know, maybe some strength of schedule not paid attention to, or I don't know. It's hard to say. But, you know, especially when you see the Massey ratings and then kind of use that to compare. But I guess I will say, you know, this is precisely why we wanted a committee. It was, you know, not, we didn't want to just rely on Massey. So
what about you, iRockfella?
I mean, honestly, if you want to model the CFP committee after the real world one, they're doing a good job because they don't seem to give a damn about the ACC. So if we're being honest here, it's almost on point, but to Nidler's point, yeah, strength of schedule was kind of ignored, but it is the first one. They're kind of ironing the kinks out. I won't jump into my other thoughts since there are other topics, and I don't want to show my Mountain West bias, but yeah. I think it was, for a first-time, brand-new committee, I think it wasn't that terrible. But I think there's some obvious voter bias, and there was quite a bit of discussion in the chat after it came out, obviously, which we'll get into, I'm sure, and some future topics here shortly. But could have been worse, in my opinion.
My thought on it, total thankless job. You know, it's never going to be perfect, right? It did exactly what I think Nidler touched on, which it might be intended to do, was it created a awesome conversation. Right. a lot of chat. The thing that I really liked about it, and maybe this doesn't have to do with them, but I think I'm counting 9 new teams in the playoff compared to last year. So that's a pretty good turnover. And 2 of them that made it last year are slated to play in this first game here, LSU and Notre Dame. Now, obviously, things can change. One thing that people really need to keep in mind, and Tim, I told you this on the side, I think, you know, a lot of these ACC teams still have like 4 games left to play. So that's like almost 33%-ish of your season still to go. So that's why I think it's funny when people get up in arms this early.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there, Pat. That's a great point. You know, if you got 4 games left, I mean, that's a third of your season yet to play. So things are definitely going to change and shake out. And Tim, I just want to mention, with what I said, I want the playoff committee to know that I truly appreciate you guys for what you do. And as Pat said, you're never going to make everybody happy. So, you know, keep doing what you do. And you know, as things fine tune, we'll see how it plays out.
Look, you have teams in March Madness and there's 68 of them. And there's always someone pissed off, like in that 64 teams or 68, however many they got in there these days.
Yeah, there's always going to be that 13 or 14 or 15 team, always, no matter how you look at it. When you have the human element in here, whether it's a computer or a human element, you're always going to have that team on the outside in that has an argument why they should be in. And I think is what you guys all said, I think is great, because I mean, the human element they're all at least doing it the same way and evaluating all the teams the same way. Instead of a computer generated is going to be very precise, and the strength of schedule seemed to be the only thing that mattered. Instead of, I think it was C Nasty said in the chat, which was one of my favorite things, at some point you just have to win games. Doesn't matter against who, it doesn't matter who you schedule or who's on your schedule, at some point you have to win games. And so that's great. We'll jump right into the next question. Is going to be, someone brought it up already, is the ACC getting downplayed too much?
I'll jump in first. No, not at all. They're about where they need to be. We can maybe talk about this later, but Memphis being a returning coach, I always feel like, and I know we're supposed to look at 1 year body of work, but the owner from the previous year is going to be really good with his team from the year before generally. So I think he just deserves it more than any other team in the ACC at this point. Again, with someone, I think it was you just now, Tim, said you, at some point you have to win games. Look, I'm sure the University of Purdue in real football has a hell of a tough schedule, but they're 1-11 or 1-10. Like you say, you have to win the games. So yeah, I think they're right where they need to be.
And I'll jump in. I agree with Pat, and the reason I agree, when you look at the standings, you know, it's tough to compare apples and oranges. It's tough to compare two different conferences. But to that point of you have to win games, when I look at the overall records, you know, the ACC has one team that is better than three losses, and that's Cal at 5-2. The other teams are 6-3, 6-3, 5-3, 7-3, 7-3. And then you look at the Mountain West, and, you know, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 teams that only have two losses or one loss. So I can't say that the ACC is getting, you know, shunned or is shining brighter. I think that, as Pat mentioned it, I think right now things are kind of where they should be. And again, I know we talked about strength of schedule and that kind of stuff, but you know, looking at records and looking at games won, I think it's pretty on par.
Yeah, I'll chime in there. I should have mentioned this in the last question, but I think the committee is probably looking at three games being kind of a death knell, unless you're in a stacked conference like SEC.
I'll be like Nidler pointed out, a bunch of the ACC teams already have three losses, even though they're up at the top of the conference, and I think that's what's costing them. And I mean, if you look at anybody that you get two losses early on in the season, I can use myself as an example. I had a tough schedule out of conference. I took two L's to start out, and I haven't even, no one's even paid me any kind of mind in the voting with good reason. So it makes sense that the ACC's just not gonna, they're not gonna show up in the polls like that with all those three lost teams sitting at the top of the conference.
There is something to note, too, that many that look at this playoff bracket sometimes forget, is we know for sure it's going to change because Memphis lost and so did Cincinnati. And so you're going to probably see Iowa State bump up, but then also Memphis is going to lose to where maybe you see that ACC team potentially maybe pop up, at least one of those first out teams. But I'm with you guys. There's so much football left to play. It's really going to come down to, you know, how that shakes out at the end. We'll jump right into the next question then.
Because, really quick, can I bring up something really quick? Just one last point. That, and this is awesome, and this is where I commend Block M and even people like Marion and Jiggy. When you create a conversation in the live chat, you know how many more people are now going to start viewing ACC games? I know I am. Like, I would normally maybe not because it doesn't really have to do with my season. But now when you have someone defending the conference, so – strongly like that, like now you're going to create viewership. And I think that is the best part of this league, is having that live chat and those conversations, because now people are going to tune in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes you put that target on your back maybe when you don't want one. Hey, are we – this ties right into that question. Obviously, there was a lot of chatter about the ACC. And then the Mountain West obviously was just picked on because that was the next conference. Are we overhyping that Mountain West conference?
I'll take the lead on this one since I'm the Mountain West guy. I want to play devil's advocate, and I'm going to say we are overhyping them, being honest, because all the flack that the conference is getting about, oh, they didn't schedule anybody, and they're right. our out-of-conference schedule as a body of work in a conference is trash. I'm the only one that attempted to do it because my coach goal says I have to make the CFP, which I'm clearly not doing this year. So I tried to make myself have a worthwhile, somewhat worthwhile schedule, and I just got my butt kicked. So if you look at it like that, I think Colorado State's the only other team in the conference. They got their two losses came to ranked opponents, but everybody else, what do they have, if I'm being honest? So there is some merit to the overhyping, but Block getting his ass kicked by two Mountain West conferences while trying to defend the ACC's honor probably doesn't help his case either.
So that definitely doesn't help his case, in my opinion. But, you know, looking at those two conferences, it's tough to say that, you know, we're downplaying ACC, we're overhyping the Mountain West. They're both fairly even conferences. Just my personal opinion, I do think the ACC might have a little better body of work when it comes to the strength of schedule. So in that opinion, I think, you know, are we overhyping it? Not really. I mean, when I look at the bracket, you know, what do we have? Memphis in there. So, you know, I don't think we're really overhyping it when you have one team. I know the argument is, you know, the ACC, they want Florida in there. And as we said, things are going to shake out tremendously over the next 4 weeks worth of games.
And someone had brought up a point, and I don't remember who it was, when they mentioned scheduling at a conference, is that a mid-major team playing power four top-tier team, you know, one through four of that conference, necessarily isn't scheduling tough. A power five or power five mid-major conference scheduling out of conference against a power four in the middle of the pack would be considered a tough schedule, if that makes sense. And I think they're referring to the ratings in the game, because most of these mid-major teams are flirting around the 70s to where almost any power four team is above 80. And so I think that brings up a good point, is how really are you putting weight on out of conference schedule? If a mid-major is playing a power four conference team, is that a good matchup or not? We'll jump over to, we're going to stay with the mid-major conference here, really just to give some love out to that Sunbelt conference, which plug for the NDL game day. That's where they're headed, is out to Monroe for this matchup, ULM at Louisiana Raging Cajuns. Do you give either one of them a shot to make in the college football playoff?
Not particularly. It's a, you know, it's pretty far down there as far as any kind of statistics you look at. Obviously, when you go 12-0, if that should happen, and win the conference championship game, it's going to be a UCF situation from years back, right? You're just going to call yourself the national champ without anyone else recognizing it. So, I think if someone's going to do it, they'll have to be a perfect 13-0. And by the way, this conference, just looking at it, is the exact thing that I spoke to you about the other day, Tim, about East and West. If this was just one big block, it would be better. But right now, the West has the three best teams, and the East is dreadful. So one of them in the championship game is going to get to play a team with probably maybe a losing record.
Yeah, I guess I can't say it any different or any better than Pat just said it. I mean, you know, much love to those guys. Again, you know, from an NDL perspective, not real life, the coaches that use those types of teams, that's the backbone of the NDL. It is why we are who we are and what makes us different. But the reality is the Sun Belt Conference, you know, you have to really beat some, you have to really shock the world, I guess, to make it in there is my opinion. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with the Raging Cajuns being ranked 25th. I think they've deserved that being 6-0, but you know, when you talk the playoffs, I mean, you're talking the 12 best teams in college football. And again, no offense to those guys, I just don't see them up there that high.
What about you, Ira?
I agree. Yeah, no, I agree. I think a lot of it's kind of goes to like playing your games on time. I don't know if one of those coaches got replaced, I believe. So they're a little behind on games. But I think if you're going to try and drum up hype to get those votes, being 6-0 when there's only one block left, whether that was a scheduling conflict or not, makes it that much harder for people to vote for you. And I mean, we've already discussed ad nauseum in the chat how weird our vote people vote. Everybody votes differently within the college, the coaches poll. So if you're only sitting at 4-0 and you've got 8 games to play with one block left to open, it's like, who's going to justify getting you that high? Raging Cajuns might make it. They're already at 25. If they go on a run, they might make it up there. If SDSU takes an L, Memphis has already taken an L. It could happen, but I think it's more of a too little too late. And then you couple that with the other factors, the strength of schedule, the way the conference is broken out in the Sun Belt. It's just a real uphill battle for them. If you don't have like a marquee upset win over like a ranked team in a Power Four.
Agree.
Yep. And we'll continue that talk about how you're talking about it, you know, an undefeated ranked team, but they are ranked like 25 or whatever. When we talk about Memphis, right? Memphis was starting to climb. They're starting to gain momentum. Clearly the playoff committee liked them. But did they just miss their chance at the college football playoff with their loss to Rice, who lost last week too?
In my opinion, yes. And I love MGR, great dude, but yes, to take a loss like that to Rice, and that's nothing against Duty and his body of work at Rice, but you know, when you lose a game like that, in my opinion, I think it's going to kill their chances.
Yeah, a game like that for a school like that, you have to win it. It's like an additional playoff game for you. And look, sometimes, like, let's say Rice won on a Hail Mary or maybe like a kick return with no time left, like we saw in our league last year. It was crazy. But 34-10, that pretty much eliminates you.
Yep.
Yeah, this wasn't an upset. This wasn't an upset loss. This was a dog walking from Rice over Memphis, which is huge. And to add insult to injury, Rice there's a bunch of one loss teams in that conference now. So Rice wins out. They play UAB. They're going to be in the conference championship. And maybe if Memphis makes it as well and they redeem themselves in the conference championship against Rice, maybe they have an argument at best. But I think that L is just going to kick them down the rankings. And they're probably not going to see the light of day again, honestly, at least this season.
Well, then now let's jump over to the opposite side. We talk about those mid-majors and teams that have been climbing as of late, which I'm kind of with you, Iraka, is that I do believe, you know, when you start getting that ranking does matter when it comes to the later in the season, the harder. These two teams have kind of been at the top, definitely 1-2 for the last couple weeks. They face off next Saturday morning. Kansas-Baylor, does Baylor have a chance to keep this game close?
I think they have a chance to keep it close, yes. I just, as much as I love Vegas, I think that Jiggy and his offense and defense, man, is just too much for him. I think they're going to pull it out.
Hey, let's pump the brakes here. Didn't Baylor give Jiggy his own only loss?
Last season, different coach.
Oh, the different coach? Oh, I thought Vegas was with Baylor. Okay. Oof. Okay, never mind. I got optimistic. Yeah, he's probably going to. Yeah, never mind. I just took the wind out of my sails. All right. In that case, no. I'm going to go with no on that, unfortunately.
You know, one thing, it'll be, I guess, the only blessing. Vegas does take care of the ball. I noticed when people play Jiggy, you got to play mistake free, right? And they'll hang with him for two quarters, three quarters. Then they'll throw that crazy interception that he houses because he's so good with the Mike Backer usering him. So this sounds so cliche, right? If they don't turn the ball over, they'll win. That's exactly what's happening in that game. That's the only way I see that him winning.
I mean, maybe the better question is, does he not get 35? Right, like that's kind of like the bar that Jiggy set at Baylor or at Kansas right now is like, are you going to get 35 by Jiggy?
No, I don't think he'll. I think it'll be a tight game for a while.
I don't know if it'll be a one score game because Jiggy hasn't had a one score game all season. So But I don't think he'll get 35. That's a little mean.
So here's a question for you. Just more so about the league in itself. We know the Blitz kicked off. Rain and Holmey did a wonderful job. The website's beautiful, and it's kind of seems to be running pretty streamlined right now. How big do you think this is for our league, the NDL? Could we continue to separate ourselves from other leagues around?
So I'll jump in first. For me, it's huge. You know, the first round of Blitz, we saw how many games get played. I mean, it had to be hundreds. So I don't know what that number was, but it was up there. And, you know, we have people that are constantly asking for more things to do, more games to play, more. They want more activity. And, you know, we have the Beefy Cup. We now have the Blitz. And I agree with you. Rain and Holmey both did an incredible job on that section of the site. It is so nice and easy to enter stats. It's easy to see the rankings. It's easy to see the recent games. It's, you know, the point standings. I mean, to me, it's tremendous. And I can't thank those guys enough because, as you said, Tim, it's just another piece that sets us apart.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's anything that gives folks a reason to do, an organized reason to do scrims, track points, there's prizes. And I think, honestly, you can almost utilize it kind of like how we did with our Blocks Crusade on the Mountain West. We're like, all right, run it through Blitz. That way there's receipts. I'm not as petty as Pat, but I'm a big fan of keeping receipts. So now I can always go back and reference the fact that Ginty dog walked Block and he had to shut the hell up about ACC for the rest of the season. So it was great. I think that also allows us to build on conference versus conference clashes. We can use that there as well. And I think it's just another avenue, one that, again, sets us apart from other leagues. So I think it's great.
Yeah, these guys nailed it. The one thing I'll add is it's nice to, you know, we only get to play, you're only guaranteed what, with the cup, 15 games a season, 16 if you're in one of those larger cups. So, you know, yeah, that sounds like a lot out loud, but over a certain period of time, it's really not. So it's nice to try other teams and knowing you're in like a safe space, you know, like a good place to where you can get those legit games. Because the only other thing that really puts stats to things is an online dynasty, our league, or you have to go in the lobby. What's it called? Road to the Playoff or whatever online, I think. I tried to play it once and it was like awful. So this is a great place to like monitor your abilities against other people in the league.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I just want to clarify that Block did eat his own words and he did admit it in the lobby. He did come in and say, I will no longer talk bad about the Mountain West. They have basically laid the boots to me two games in a row. So he did come back and say that he's not going to pick on the Mountain West anymore. I mean, I'm with you guys. This is the one where I'll chime in too. I think that, you know, the NDL, anyone that's new, if you guys continue to stick around here, you'll see that the constant changing and the constant things that are done behind closed doors that a lot of us this year, this game didn't have a chance to see in the past because we weren't in a commissioner type role, is that there's constant things moving behind closed doors to make the league more enjoyable, more engageable. And that's all this is going to do. I mean, there's going to be things that will branch off of this. I mean, I just can't imagine that people won't run with all these scrimmages, finding new ways to be creative and have fun and play guys like Pat talked about in our safe space where we get to play sim games and we get to play it the NDL way. And so that's really great. You guys were really great today. We're going to do something a little different only because we have a few more minutes left of the show. We do have a question in here from one of our guests, Schmitty. He did say that he wanted to ask, do we really think in the league this year the SEC is better than the Big 12? And I don't think he's talking from just one team to one team. He's talking about the body of a whole. He did mention, like he brought up Baylor, Cincy, Iowa State, Kansas, and Colorado. Go ahead, Pat, you can jump in first since you're in the conference.
Yeah, no, it's we are not better than the SEC. It's been a running joke that I wish more people would latch onto, but just can't comprehend it sometimes, that I have always thought the SEC got too much attention in real life So I just brought the joke into here. But from top to bottom, they are better than us. I'm looking at it right now. We have four very good teams in our league, in our conference, maybe five, not myself. TCU is better than his record looks. So, but no, they have a better conference than us. I hate to admit it. The Big 12 guys are going to kill me, but oh well.
Appreciate your honesty, Pat. I have to agree. I think the big thing is the Big 12 is top heavy. I mean, I can look at it from reverse as I write the bottom 10 article. I think I've pulled maybe one team, no, two teams from the SEC all season. That is not the case with the Big 12. I think that's just a testament to how balanced the conference is in general. In the SEC, there's a lot of good veteran coaches there. So I'd have to side with the SEC on that one as well.
Yeah, and I agree with both of you guys. You know, the Big 12 has some fantastic coaches, some great teams. I definitely am not taking anything away from those guys, but when you look at the entire conference, the SEC's just that they have more heavy hitters. They have, I don't know, just more teams that I think are much harder to play against and beat. And yeah, I just think the SEC's tougher overall.
And I would tell you too that, like, when you go to, let's say Tennessee right now is 5-3, or Auburn's even 2-5, the unranked system doesn't know that, right? So when we play there, the crowd is bumping. Right. Whereas, like, if you're playing against a 2-5, maybe a BYU or a University of Arizona, like, that home field advantage doesn't really kick in as much as it does in this conference.
You guys all make great points. I'll stay out of that one. I'm extremely biased because I'm the SEC commissioner. But Pat, I'm with you in real life. I absolutely hate the SEC, and it's kind of what we talked about. What Block did earlier is that, to me, as a football fan, I feel like they shoved the SEC down our throats about how great they are, and so I really become to hate the SEC, and I move down in SEC country, and so it's like it's miserable for me because it's just everywhere. But I love college football, and so it's not as bad as it was when I lived up north. But I really appreciate you guys all coming on the show a little bit less than 30 minutes. That's what we wanted. We can get everybody off to their lunch breaks, anything. Does anybody have any parting words or just a statement you want to say about a conference or a team in the NDL?
Shameless plug, Genty for Heisman.
No, I mean, the only thing I have to say in real life, fuck the SEC. I can't stand them in real life. I'm like you, Tim. You know, but in the game, I mean, I respect all the coaches in there and everything. So, you know, but I'm an Ohio State fan, a Big Ten fan in real life. So I feel like you, they've always shoved it down our throats.
And my apologies to the Big 12. Obviously, love you guys. It's been a great conference this year. Everyone is solid. And I screwed up. It's actually five really good teams in there, the six being TCU, the other five, Colorado, Iowa State, Cincy, Kansas, and Baylor. I misspoke there. Sorry, boys.
I forgot Utah.
We can cut that shit out.
I think Iraka said you were going to be in the bottom 10 next week.
Oh, boy. Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
No, we appreciate it, guys. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.
Later.
Later. Later.